Thank you, Brother Phil. That was very good. I, in my meetings with different ones online, we've been going through the book of Revelation, and something that stood out is in each one of the seven churches, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You know, I just covet for myself more an ear to hear. We mentioned it, I think, in the meetings here, how the Lord Jesus, before he went to the cross, had said to his disciples, I think at least three times, you can trace it, that he was going to go up to Jerusalem and there he would be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes and be condemned and crucified, and the third day he would rise again. The disciples did not hear that part. Yeah, they were there, and I think they're registered in their ears. But you know, they had the idea that Jesus had come to establish his kingdom. And to be crucified and killed, it didn't fit into their way of thinking. And to me, it's been a challenge, brethren. We have our ways of thinking. And so often it hinders us from really hearing what the Lord has to say to us. And we mentioned, too, Mary of Bethany, who sat at his feet and heard his word. Poor Martha, that lazy girl, why didn't she help? There was the Lord's disciples, and so there were quite a few people to feed when they came to their house. And Mary, what's she doing? She's just sitting there. But Mary listened as nobody else did. And Mary got the message. To me, that's such a challenge to see. And so, as we mentioned, I think yesterday, Mary was not at the crucifixion. She was not at the tomb, because she knew that he was going to rise again. In fact, the Lord Jesus attributed to her the anointing that she did at that supper they made for him in John chapter 12, that he was being anointed for his burial. I think that's so beautiful. And brethren, do we have ears to hear? We've been talking about amazingly wonderful truth. Did you hear it? Did you get it? Did it sink in? That's the challenge I find in my own life, brethren. And I'd like to go back to the Old Testament to speak about Jacob. Jacob was a man of faith, but there was a lot of carnality in Jacob. Let's go back to chapter 28 of the book of Genesis, where Jacob is leaving his father's house to go to his uncle's, and where he will find his wife, or I should say wives, because he ended up with four wives. And he's going out alone. And he has this vision. Verse 10 of chapter 28 of Genesis. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. You ever tried to sleep on stones? It's not that comfortable, I don't think. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and all, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Did Jacob listen? Let's keep on reading. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now notice what Jacob says. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Given what Jacob said to the Lord, was he listening to what God had said? Notice verse 15 again. Behold, I am with thee. Is there any ifs in this? I think this is so incredible, brethren. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. It's not conditional promises. It's unconditional. Did Jacob believe that? I don't think it really registered with Jacob. And he puts a bunch of ifs in his vow. Notice verse 20. If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That if to me shows that Jacob really, what the Lord had promised him, unconditionally did not register. And I say, is it possible, brethren, we can sit in meetings like we've had and talk about the wonderful truth of our spiritual heritage and it not register? I think that's possible. And we need to be challenged. Do we have ears to hear? It's interesting, in the Gospels, the Lord puts it in the plural. He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. I'm not just sure why the difference. I'd enjoy hearing if anybody has some light on that. But the point is, even if you only have one ear, are you listening? Is it really penetrating? Is it getting in? And that's why we mentioned yesterday the importance of meditation. Chew on it. You know, sometimes there's a piece of food that you got to chew quite a while. And we need to chew until we can swallow it and it can be digested. Brethren, we need time in the Word. Lord, help us to really listen and to get the Scriptures down into our hearts. How important it is. But I'd like to look now at Jacob is on his way to Laban's house, or to his father-in-law, Bethuel, and Laban was his brother-in-law. It turned out to be his brother-in-law. But he gets his wives there, and he has children. I think 11 of his 12 children were born there. And then in chapter 32, he's going back. It says in the end of chapter 31, verse 53, the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Jacob offered sacrifices upon the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night on the mount. Early in the morning, Laban rose and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. Verse chapter 32, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Angels of God were all day, always there, protecting him and keeping him, even though Jacob didn't lay hold of it. Oh, brethren, how faithful God is to us in spite of our lack of really entering into his precious word. And when Jacob, verse 2, saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent to messengers before him to Esau his brother into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto my lord Esau. You remember when he had left his father's house, Esau was so incensed at Jacob, he said, oh, I'm going to kill him. And that was on, I think, Jacob's mind and his conscience. And so he says, my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith, thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there with him until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Can you imagine how scared Jacob was? He thought, oh, he's going to get even. Now he's going to take revenge. So verse 7 says, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He wasn't really absorbing the promise that God had made to him that God was going to keep him in all his ways. He divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. He said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, the other company that is left shall escape. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I may become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Some of what the Lord had said to him had penetrated. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are those before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind me. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterwards I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Verse 24. Jacob was left alone. Brethren, there's times when we need to get alone with God. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. When he saw that he prevailed not against it, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. That's the angel said to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go. This is what Jacob said to the angel, except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. I get so interesting. Who was it that he was wrestling? When he was alone. Let's go over to the book of Hosea. It's right after the book of Daniel that we were reading in. And the 12th chapter of Hosea. In verse 3, 4, and 5. We'll read. Talking about Jacob, verse 2, he took, verse 3, his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Yet so incredibly interesting. He had power over the angel and prevailed. Who's it talking about? Jacob. That scoundrel? Yes. Jacob prevailed with the angel. Going back to that chapter in Genesis 32. When and how did he prevail with that angel? Here it says a man, but we know from Hosea that it was really the Lord that was striving with him. Where did he prevail? He struggled all night, wrestling. Didn't seem he got anywhere. And finally, the angel says, let me go, for the dawn is rising. And Jacob says, the angel had touched his thigh, and his thigh came out of joint. And I can understand that that's a fairly painful situation. He really couldn't wrestle anymore. Then how did he prevail with the angel? It's right here, brethren, and I think it's so beautiful to see. He says, verse 26, let me go, the angel said, for the day breaketh. And he said, that's Jacob, said to the angel, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Isn't that beautiful? I find this so interesting. Jacob could not wrestle anymore. His thigh was out of joint. It was too painful. And God allows circumstances in life sometimes, brethren, that are painful. What is his purpose? What does he want when he allows those circumstances? He wants us to be prevailers. And Jacob prevailed. He could not struggle anymore. What did he do? He just said, I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And so the angel says, what is your name? Jacob. Verse 28, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Thank you, so incredibly beautiful. Jacob prevailed with God. He wrestled with God and prevailed. How did he prevail? Simplicity of faith to lay hold and not let loose until he got the blessing. Brethren, this is a challenge for each one of us. God wants us to be prevailers. And I love that verse in 1 John chapter 5 that says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith brings God into the picture. And we can't do it so often. This situation is too difficult for us. But we have a God that wants us to be prevailers and get the victory. He wants us to learn that. And so Jacob prevailed with the angel, with God. I think that's so exceedingly beautiful. May the Lord help us to be prevailers, ones who gets the victory, one who overcomes. It's interesting. David, when he met with Goliath was that huge giant, covered all over with armor, except for a little spot on his forehead. And David came and he said, "Why doesn't someone go and take that man out?" Everyone was afraid of him. How did David have the courage to go out and meet him? Brethren, it was he brought God into the picture. It wasn't with David versus Goliath. It was God versus Goliath. You're going to compare David with Goliath? Yeah. It's a one-sided matter, but he brought God into the picture, and God is greater than Goliath. God is greater than our troubles, brethren. May the Lord help us to lay hold on the Lord in that simple way of faith as Jacob laid hold of that angel. He couldn't struggle anymore. You're not going to get the victory by struggling. He'd struggled all night. He'd wrestled all night. Didn't get the victory until he couldn't wrestle anymore. He simply laid hold of the angel and said, "I will not let thee go until thou bless me." Oh, brethren, the Lord help us when we view the beautiful place of acceptance and blessing that God has brought us into, to have ears to hear, to let it sink down into our hearts, to become a reality. And then in our troubles, we all have troubles, and everyone's different. Nobody's exactly the same, but you'll find that God wants to make each one of us an overcomer. He wants us to be prevailing. Lord, help us, brethren.